Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Beth, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
So you don't put impeachment on the table as the only item on the table and say you're going to get there no matter what, which is it's what happened in 99.
Hillary's coming out against impeaching President Trump, which I think is funny that she's actually vocalizing that to begin with. Joe Biden is supposed to be coming into the race tomorrow, and Obama is not throwing his endorsement behind anyone quite yet either. You got to hold on to that for a while. I would think. And you know, when you look at Hillary and the way she comes in and out of the news picture right now, and when she chooses to weigh in, and when she's, you know, she had the book tour. What happened?
What happened really with her?
And we continue to watch as she goes on to the front, you know, front of the stage, and then she fades to the background or whatever. But she has just recently come out and said that impeachment isn't exactly the way to go. Well, she was the first lady when the last president went through impeachment.
She can't stay out of the limelight.
She can't.
She loves it.
Well, it'll be interesting to see the way these constant subpoenas continue to come up. And President Trump is definitely confident in the way he's going to be handling this.
Well, we're fighting all the subpoenas. Look, these aren't like impartial people. The Democrats are trying to win 2020. They're not going to win with the people that I see, and they're not going to win against me. The only way they can maybe luck out, and I don't think that's going to happen. It might make it even the opposite. That's what a lot of people are saying. The only way they can luck out is by constantly going after me on nonsense. But they should be really focused on legislation, not the things that have been. This has been litigated, just so you understand. This has been litigated for the last 2 years, almost since I got into office.
So the president going to continue to resist, and the Democrats are going to continue to resist, I guess. And this will go on for the next 2 years. We'll see how much the Democrats are able to balance both this idea of aggressively going after every piece of information this president has ever been associated with via subpoenas by the House Democrats, and being able to measure that alongside of a, you know, Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris. Is Cory Booker still running for president?
Yep.
Is he still in it?
Yep.
Where is he?
Who was the
person? What's he doing?
Who was the clip you played earlier in the show that said that he didn't think that Joe Biden announcing his presidency would create the splash that Kamala Harris did? Who was that? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard anybody. Like, oh, I don't know if he can generate the interest.
It is hard to see Joe Biden stirring up the type of excitement as, say, you know, Kamala Harris did in her introduction, or that Mayor Pete is doing every day. So
he's psycho. Trump said so.
Look, Joe Biden is, I'm not saying he's a great candidate, but he was vice freaking president.
Yeah.
He's not
a socialist.
He's well known. He's beloved by many on that side. And to act like that him announcing that he's running for president isn't as big of a deal or could make as much of a splash as Kamala Harris?
Yeah. People are in love with her.
Who's like buried right now in the polls?
Yeah.
That makes no sense to me.
Before we get to our guest here, J.B. Pritzker, do you still have that story accessible? So J.B. Pritzker come out today under federal investigation. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, he is the subject of a federal investigation along with his wife and brother-in-law. This stems back from a property tax break scheme, essentially, on a Pritzker mansion in Chicago's Gold Coast. A 2018 Cook County Inspector General investigation found that J.B. Pritzker and his wife directed workers to remove toilets from their mansion in order to declare it uninhabitable, which resulted in more than $331,000 in property tax breaks. This is not their only mansion, so don't worry, guys. They had other
they
places
had
to go.
They had an inhabitable mansion with indoor plumbing.
This Inspector General report called this act a scheme to defraud taxpayers, and Pritzker has pledged to repay the money, but
Pritzker
and his wife could still face legal consequences.
J.B. Pritzker's worth some money.
$3.5 billion.
That would make him a
billionaire.
Their party is the party of the billionaire class, and the greed of the billionaire class never ends.
Greed. Billionaire.
Isn't Bloomberg a...
Whose party? Very confused. Very, very confused.
So confusing.
Let's get to our guest right now, the Illinois Policy Institute's chief economist, Orfe Devungi. Orfe, so great to have you on today. Amidst the crazy news today out with J.B. Pritzker, we also have the Metro East, along with a lot of other areas in the state of Illinois, losing some residents, which means losing taxpayers. What have we found out?
Oh, thanks for having me, first of all. Yeah, we found out that, as I predicted last week on your show, the population was going to continue to decline. In fact, we now have historic population loss. Every single metro area in the state of Illinois actually lost population.
Wow.
To put it into context, there are 383 MSAs, metro areas in the United States. 10 of them are in Illinois, and every single one lost population. What's crazy is that, it's not crazy. We knew this all along. You know, places that are gaining people are places that have a thriving labor market, low taxes, like Dallas, Texas, Houston, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona. You got Nevada is up there and gaining people. Florida, Orlando, Florida is gaining people. So people are moving to places that are conducive to doing business, low tax environment, where they find jobs at a faster rate and where their incomes grow faster.
So do we have any knowledge on why these people are leaving? Have we done any studies that suggest that there is a specific reason given for people to vacate the state?
Absolutely. Last year, we published a study that showed that 60% of most moves, and in Illinois, by the way, it's working-age population, working-age people moving, 60% of those decisions are motivated by the labor market. In Illinois, we have lower income growth than the rest of the country. We have higher unemployment rates relative to other states. And so, of course, opportunities are arising faster in other places. And so people are moving to those places.
So, and people are leaving the state of Illinois to go where? Any consistency in where they leave for?
Absolutely. The places that are gaining the most people are Texas, Florida, Nevada, Arizona, you know, places that have either no income tax or a flat tax. None of these areas have a highly progressive tax code, which brings us to J.B. Pritzker, right? I heard you were talking about J.B.
Yeah.
You have people in the J.B. camp saying, tax policy has no effect whatsoever on people's behavior, and yet you have the governor ripping toilets out of his mansion to avoid paying taxes.
Yeah, it must be nice to be able to take toilets out of one of your mansions so that you don't have to pay the taxes. That would be much, much higher because, of course, it's in the state of Illinois. I was talking a little bit, too, about that conversation that exists on paying a minimum wage to teachers of like $40,000 a year and discussing how that also has tax implications on local levels where, you know, the state's not actually paying local municipalities, school districts, the money that they're supposed to be paying. So then that means you get the progressive income tax from J.B. Pritzker and the highly democratically controlled Springfield legislature. But then the extra pressure gets put on the localities that have to pay these school districts. And that is affected in property taxes. So again, Absolutely. You have progressive income tax. The suggested rates by J.B. Pritzker's are just basically suggestions. By no means is that part of what would actually be implemented at all. And then you have the extra burden on the local entities where they talk about raising property taxes and sales taxes in addition to that progressive income tax.
Absolutely. You just highlighted it. You know, you've said it perfectly. So those mandates, those state mandates, are only going to cause your property taxes to increase. And so you end up with, you know, higher property taxes and, you know, a progressive income tax hike. Because, you know, we know the rich are not going to stick around because, you know, we see how they behave. You know, case in point, J.B. Pritzker. They're not going to stick around. They're not going to pay the bulk of the tax increase. So it's going to fall on the middle class. And, you know, that's our biggest fear, right? The middle class will have to foot the bill. The middle class will be paying higher income taxes and higher property taxes if J.B. Pritzker has his way.
Orfe, if this progressive income tax continues to move through, where is it right now in the legislature, and what can people do about it?
So right now it passed this committee in the Senate, the executive committee in the Senate. Legislators are on spring break right now, but they're going to return in May, and they're going to try to push something through because that's what the governor wants. They're going to try to rush it through, and we really, really need your listeners and our friends around the state of Illinois who really care about the state and are concerned about their outcomes in the future to call legislators, to go to their front doors, to actively engage with them and present them with the facts. The facts are simple. The math doesn't add up. JB's plan is not a magic pill. It will not fix the state's finances. In fact, evidence from other states suggests that when they've adopted a progressive income tax, things got worse. You know, poverty rates increased, and it hasn't been able to fix their finances. You know, and the example is Connecticut. Connecticut was the last state to do so, and they've had budget deficits for 12 out of the last 15 years.
And J.B. Pritzker makes it seem like this is the magic potion to fix everything in the state of Illinois. What's he basing that off of?
Well, I mean, it's the political expedient thing to do, right? It's what politicians do. They'll say, well, I'm only going to raise taxes on the rich and I'm not going to affect you. We know that's a lie because a progressive income tax has been a bridge to higher taxes in every single state that has adopted a progressive income tax. You know, initially they sell it as a tax cut on the poor, but, you know, in Connecticut, for example, the middle class saw their taxes increase 13% since the introduction of progressive income tax. In Minnesota, the lowest income bracket now faces the top rate, what the top rate used to be when the tax had been introduced. So you can see that the tax burden has consistently increased in those states. It's been easier and easier for lawmakers in those states to raise taxes on the middle class.
Well, it's definitely imperative right now while the legislators presumably are in their districts right now to make that contact, have a face-to-face, and explain that value of pension reform in the state of Illinois over the detriment of the progressive income tax. And we definitely encourage people to reach out and talk to your House representative, your state senator, and make your voice heard. Orfe, thank you so much for talking to us again this week. We appreciate you.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you soon. IllinoisPolicy.org, and you can find out. The thing I like about Illinois Policy is they'll highlight these issues that are facing the people of Illinois, and they'll provide solutions, which is great, because if they don't provide solutions, then they're just complainers, like I am sometimes. Solutions are good. That's why we have them here. IllinoisPolicy.org, on Twitter at Illinois Policy. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we can get to some phone calls. 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. And Annie, are you okay at 2:40 with Frank Latt? So stay tuned. A lot more coming your way.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
Was OG like DOC, remember that?
We have over 65 new members of Congress. They're fantastic, beautifully diverse. Our caucus is 60% women, people of color, LGBTQ. That is an applause line.
And every single time I have run, I have won every single congressional district in my state, including Michelle Bachmann's. Okay? It's when you guys are supposed to cheer, okay? All right, so.
Affirmation from Democratic crowds is a pretty tough road to hoe these days.
Right. What is Randy, up? Get the cue card up. That's your sign.
Please applause. Clap.
It makes no sense to me.
Jeb Bush kind of fits that too.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a bit silly. I can't imagine ever, and I've done my fair share of speaking engagements where I've been in front of people. And, you know, I might think in my mind that this might be something. It depends on the crowd. It depends on the vibe. If you're in front, you know, I've emceed rallies and I've said things and people have gone, you know, wow, crazy. And I didn't know it was going to happen. And then I've written things and thought, oh, this will really get them. And then nothing happens.
And yeah.
I just keep going. It's not like, come on now.
Clap with me. I did something great.
How does that feel right? How do you engage in that conversation and then be like, really nailed that one? If the people in your audience, I mean, it's not like you go somewhere and accidentally see Nancy Pelosi or Amy Klobuchar. You know what you're getting yourself into. If they're not clapping at your so-called applause lines, get new applause lines.
Mm-hmm. And move on.
Yes. And stop saying crazy things that have to do with like un-American policies. It's crazy to listen to this type of conversation occur where Democrats, it's embarrassing to watch them go out and be like, you know, sweeping statement and a pause for applause and nothing happens. And then to, you know, like if you're reading a script because you're going to be in a movie or in a play or in some type of production, and there's something written in parentheses or italics, you don't say that out loud. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't happen, just go to the next thing that's not written parenthetically.
Yes.
The difference. It blows my mind. I don't understand how you can feel comfortable enough. I mean, unless you're saying something that's tongue in cheek, I don't get it. I want Tony to get back in here. Tony, come here. There is, so Disney Plus is this new streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
And there he is. Disney Plus. You up for Disney Plus conversation?
Oh, let's go.
Do you remember when they came out with the Disney Plus news? It's going to be the new streaming thing. Disney's going to take all of their Disney products, which is a lot of products.
And they're going to take all my money and I'll have a smile on my face.
Yep.
You'll be so happy about
it. I'm not mad.
For real.
Obviously the Disney cartoons, but Avengers and... Mm-hmm. Marvel and mm-hmm. Star Wars mm-hmm. and Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Yep. All of it.
All going to be on Disney Plus. I think for the low, low price of $5.99 a month, which is like a third of what I think I'm paying for Netflix.
They're not
going
to pull it off like cable stuff, though, are they? They're not going to like.
I mean, well, they still have some. No, I mean, ABC, Freeform,
still have your,
all of these channels are still Disney properties, so they're still going to be there. However,
good.
They initially said that the Disney Plus's entire version of the studio or of the library was going to be on there. And then everyone's like, oh, but what about Song of the South? Now, I've never seen Song of the South. I've never seen it.
I haven't either. I understand that it's...
Lots of racial undertones.
Yeah, I understand that it's pretty... Yeah.
So everybody was, you know...
It's pretty of the time.
Disney Plus comes out and they say they're going to release their entire library. And everyone, like Tony and I are like... All of our favorite movies are going to be on there. And then other people come and you know, have to rain on the parade and be like, but what about Song of the South? So it turns out that this week they said that Song of the South will not be included on Disney Plus. And so this article from avclub.com says, so it definitely won't be the, quote, entire contents of the famous Disney vault. So Boardwalk Times also says that Song of the South won't be the only ugly part of the studio's legacy that will be cut from Disney Plus. Have you guys seen Dumbo? The real, like, obviously the real Dumbo?
Mm-hmm. The crows.
A scene from Dumbo in which the I don't even know how to say that. I don't usually not know. Eponymous?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Elephant meets a group of crows will also be cut. thanks to the name and mannerisms of their leader, Jim Crow, a very subtle, not very subtle, reference to the country's racist segregation era Jim Crow laws. So you will get to watch Dumbo on Disney Plus, but they're cutting that whole section out. I don't know that I think that that's a good idea. The reason why I don't know that it's a good idea is because it's part of Dumbo. Mm-hmm. Dumbo was made in the 40s. Am I making that up? Dumbo.
No, it's very, it was a long time ago, whether it be the 40s or not. It is a long time ago.
This is 2019. I don't want the 2019 version. that would be really bad in the 2019 version. But the reason why is because, first of all, my oldest child, who is 9 years old, is not going to watch that and understand the racial undertones that exist there on the surface. My 9-year-old's not going to get it. But when a child is old enough to get it...
1941.
When a child is old enough to get it, is it important that we have an opportunity to explain why that existed, to honor the fact that there was a time like that that existed that needed to stop, that needed to go away? And if you remove scenes like that from movies that took place in 1941, are you going to stop kids from knowing where we were to keep us from going, you know, where we will be in the future? Contextually speaking, I don't know how many opportunities we have anymore. You know, we tear down statues. And I understand that if you have a Robert E. Lee statue and you're talking about the general of the Confederacy, I understand that that is going to make somebody whose skin doesn't look like mine see something differently than I do. But I know the history behind it. So statue or no statue, different conversation. But when it comes to Dumbo and the context that is there, is it a good thing? Or is it a bad thing to remove that from existence in a movie?
I'm okay. I don't know that kids would understand or know what lesson to learn. So I don't mind you pulling it out of the version that you're going to play on your streaming service. But you can't eliminate that from, you can't eliminate those scenes or anything like that all together because of all the things that you just illustrated. It needs to be pointed out that those scenes were in movies and this is how we used to, I mean,
it's where we were and it's not where we are.
Just go look at the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and the African-American actors and actresses that were on, you know, the skits with the Three Stooges and the way that they were portrayed, or Bugs Bunny and blackface and, you know, and things like, you know, doing the mammy stuff in blackface. That doesn't need to be on the Saturday morning cartoons, but it also does not need to be erased from history because you need to learn from your history.
And are people like, if I can't imagine, because I used to be a member of the Disney Movie Club, mostly because my husband and I weren't Disney people until we had kids. And then we're like, you know, we want to have these things that we can pop in the DVD player so that we can watch them with our kids. And with my 9-year-old, when 9 years ago, we didn't have access to stream everything like we do now.
Right.
And like we will with Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. How many people are going to continue to buy DVDs? Like access to that scene in Dumbo. I'm not saying, and I hope I've made it clear enough, I'm not saying that I support the exploitation of what took place in Dumbo, but I'm saying that I fear the, you know, for lack of a better term, whitewashing of history to suggest that things weren't ever different than they are now, because we got where we are now by identifying things that we've done and saying, that's not really cool. And it becomes, at the right time, it becomes a teaching moment for our kids in the context of something that I think is a safe place to have that conversation.
Yeah, I don't know how many kids would link that, those two things. I don't think kids would be able to correlate
something. If you watch that movie in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s, like especially during the civil rights movement, I think it would be obvious to people what was taking place there just with their own eyes. I think kids would be able to understand that because of the very unequal way that we treated each other. I think that kids would be able to draw that. But my hope especially in my house, which is the only place I have any control, when I have control, is that my kids wouldn't, in this world that we live in today in 2019, and in the home, the Christian home that we live in my house and in the state of Illinois, that they wouldn't draw that connection. And that at the time when it became appropriate to explain that to my 9-year-old or 10-year-old or 11-year-old son, and I explained to him, or my husband explains to him, what this scene was actually doing, that my child would be appalled by it and not understand it, because they're taught these things by us grown-ups, mm-hmm. the people who don't, who have developed these prejudices, and some people take it from prejudice into racism. It concerns me that in order to, I understand what took place in that scene in Dumbo with the crows, and I know what it means. I understand it's a crow that is black, and the way that
they have the mannerisms.
Yes, the way that they are portrayed is a caricaturization or a mocking of a class of people, that is, or a race of people. That is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where we have a teaching moment. I just think it's an interesting conversation.
Yep.
I don't think that we need to be making more movies like this, to be very, very clear that this is not something that is good. But if we remove every reference that we've ever had, you know, I would say the same thing that goes, you know, you watch old movies and you look at the way women were treated in older right. movies, because that's the way they were treated. That was real. They, you know, by the way, women were the last ones to get the vote. It meant black men got to vote a long time before women suffrage came through. And you look at the way women were told to behave and how society was structured, you know, should we have examples of men, you know, backhanding their women who get out of place? Or should we remove all of those from history as well? I think it's important to understand where we've been. I think it's important to understand, have the opportunity to teach my daughter about how grateful she should be about the women who went before her and fought to be valued equally with men, especially the ones up until the point where we had to villainize men and victimize women to the point where we had to, you know, repair everything that existed in the past. But nonetheless, Song of the South not going to be included in Disney Plus. Not shocking. But the crow scene from Dumbo is going to be removed. Just really interesting. I was surprised.
You know that there are just people out there that have to find a story or a protest of whatever.
What percentage of humans?
Disney announces they're going to do this Disney Plus streaming service, and somebody's like, how do I make this about a movement? How do I find a way to protest this?
How do I make it about politics?
Yeah, that's what I'll go with.
Yeah.
Because that's what the majority of today's parents who are in their 20s and 30s think of when they think of Disney. Mm-hmm. They think of Song. They're all worried. All us parents are worried if Song of the South is going to be available on Disney Plus.
Exactly.
Give me a freaking break.
Yeah. No, I want Moana on now, repeat.
Yeah. Exactly.
Please.
Can I put Frozen on repeat for
anything but Frozen
for 3 weeks in a row? That's what I need to know.
The end of this article says, honestly, and this
kind of... You're going to give me new episodes of Gigantosaurus because I need them.
I need it.
Honestly, this is from the article. Honestly, we'll all be grateful for that stellarish reputation when Disney seizes control of the United States in a bloody coup. Not everybody wants to worship a company god that admits to making a few racist cartoons. Like, I mean, I understand kind of the snark that's involved in that, but not including Song of the South doesn't mean that Disney didn't make Song of the South, and also doesn't mean that Song of the South wasn't created in a time when Song of the South was the ways of the time, and that it's not the ways of time anymore, and that is something to be celebrated, that we have grown from there, and that Disney has been around this long to now make social justice, honestly, one of the main factors in pretty much every movie that they make, and I still like them all.
Yeah, some 27-year-old mom is at home with her 3-year-old, and the 3-year-old's tugging on her pants going,
Can you put on
Song of the South?
Mommy,
I want to watch Song of the South
again.
That is not happening. No, it is not a thing.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's take a quick break. Annie, are you okay when we come back? Stick around for that. 314-241-9797 if you want to get a call in here. Back in a second.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We've been talking about Disney and getting called out, as Tony and I generally do, when we support Disney. We know. I know. I understand it. I get that there is a
you stink
disparity in people who support Disney, and I just like it. And I understand things that they do support. I understand things that they don't support, but I still like Disney. So that's just I can't take everything. You know, the Glover Show had a big question the other day, like, what's your unpopular opinion or something like mm-hmm. that? And my unpopular opinion is that making every single thing, every decision that you make based on the political beliefs of maybe the company or the industry or whatever is exhausting.
Yeah.
It's absolutely exhausting. And I just don't know that I want to do that all the time. Like, I don't want to miss out on fun when I know that I'm doing everything I can on a day-to-day basis to try to speak. I'm going to do what the Democrats say. Speak my truth.
Speak your truth, girl.
And if I'm speaking my truth, it's the truth, because I don't get to have my own truth. Truth is not subjective by virtue of being truth, you would think. Anyway.
And now it's time to play Is Annie Okay With This?
Still no Michael Jackson there.
Oddly enough, speaking of Disney.
Oh, boy.
Whoa.
I'm okay with it. I like everything that Disney does all the time.
Do your kids have lightsabers?
My son has a lightsaber.
There you go. Does Jared?
No.
Why doesn't your adult boy have a lightsaber?
My adult boy. Actually, I think that...
Sorry, Jared.
I think that...
You should have a lightsaber.
We have... I think he picked up some lightsabers on a Facebook swap and sell thing.
Cool.
So we might actually have extras. I don't know that he's laid claim to one.
So apparently the force is getting stronger in France, where the French Fencing Federation has officially recognized lightsaber dueling as a competitive sport.
Ooh.
According to the AP, the federation has given the iconic lightsaber Star Wars weapon the same status as the traditional blades, the foil, the épée, the saber, and competition can now begin to train like Luke Skywalker. Now, we all know in Harry Potter, Quidditch is a team made up of 7 players, 1 seeker, 1 keeper. I have no idea what any of this is.
I don't know anything about
Harry
Potter.
2 beaters and 3 chasers, but a lot of people know what Harry Potter is. But there is a Quidditch League here in the U.S. 15 teams. It was founded in March of 2015. So now you can learn to fight like a lightsaber for, goodness.
This is all a ruse.
Fight with a lightsaber. I put effort into this,
I know
too.
You did. So did we. We had to get you in the studio.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't know how all this is going to fit in the car.
So we wanted to get Frank in the studio. Normally, Annie, are you okay?
You.
Is on
well, your
Friday.
Mic's not on.
We tricked you.
Yes, you did.
But we actually have a cart of diapers.
Here's your notes back.
Yeah, give them back. You can use those stories. Frank is expecting his firstborn son in mid-May. Is that correct?
In mid-May. Well, mid to late May.
You learned
May
20th. Yesterday. You learned how to breastfeed.
I did.
Congratulations.
There's a lot of terminology.
How
you're
going to
struggle
gonna
a lot.
A lot of terminology.
You have to study up. Yeah. You need to study up.
They never taught me how to do that.
Did you give him the card?
There was a video.
Yeah.
My goodness gracious.
Yeah, I don't want to even look
at
it.
Let's turn it towards the webcam.
Yeah, show the webcam.
How do you like it?
Oh, that's wonderful.
I made that myself.
That's cute.
It's Frank's
Your
face
skills at work.
On a baby's body.
Those digital skills.
A naked baby
naked
with Frank's
baby.
Face. It says put a diaper on that baby.
Probably illegal. We're going to go talk to HR.
I know that you're not allowed to reproduce that image because part of it is not reproducible. But people on KMLX and people from here, we all pulled together and wanted to send you and Katie with what you need the most, which are all going to be filled with pee and poop, and we're going to help you out with that.
And they said yesterday it's going to average, or my young son at some point will average between 8 and 12 diapers a day.
Yeah.
Yep.
If they're eating correctly.
A day. Exactly. If they're eating correctly. Wow. First couple days, it's kind of low. And then it kicks in. And you know, as you get into day three, it's 3 diapers or 4, 5, mm-hmm. 6. And then suddenly it's between 8 and 12. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah. So this will buy you a week.
Whoa. Right. Yeah.
I had a really cool experience.
You can help with week 2?
Buying these diapers.
We'll be there for you.
Usually I have my mom, if there's a baby shower coming up, I have my mom go look for the diapers and I pitch in some money or we go together. And I had to look for these diapers by myself. And I was like,
you just
I
go
don't
to the diaper aisle
happening.
And you pick them up.
Was
and put
everybody
them in the-
asking if you were pregnant? Like, boy, yeah.
Wow. No, I was just like, okay, this is, and so that's newborn.
So that
but
means
what about
the sevens
weight?
Are from the sevens pounds. Are from Katie. Then I guess
she's got some depends in there.
The ten
later in life.
This is just happens
for those
still having issues
for those late nights drinking.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
should be multiple sizes. Now I looked up at your registry. I looked up your and Katie's registry, and I believe you registered for some loves. Yeah, I know.
Mean, it's a full cart of diapers,
How many
people.
Packages are there? There's a lot of diapers there. You guys registered for Love, so I lived and learned and got Loves real fast. They're actually same company that makes Pampers, but they are a lot cheaper. And you should be able to take them back, and if you don't open them, exchange them at Walmart or whichever store they came from. And
I got two words for
upgrade
you.
The size
when
if
it
necessary.
Comes to diapers. Target brand. Just saying.
Killing it. We did. We've done that before.
Heck yeah, that's all.
Did
our kids
either
have
you guys both obviously
had.
Have kids, and so does Jeff. Did any of you guys do the cloth diaper route?
Heck no.
Jeff is like appalled by that thought process. Okay,
I know. I have lots of friends who have though.
Right.
You guys aren't doing it.
We
right?
had the no. We had the conversation, and then we were like, "I don't want those floating around in our washing machine."
No.
After things have been placed in the yes.
No. That gives originally, me I have a young grandson. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are supposed to say, shocked. "I can't believe."
Applause line.
That.
Yeah. No,
Noah's adorable.
That's applause.
He's wearing
and my daughter-in-law
clothes.
Was like, "We're doing cloth diapers," and my wife, who keeps him, said, "No, we're not."
You're doing
cloth
diapers.
That was the
diapers.
End of that.
We are not. Yeah.
So that was the choice that got made for
that's
them.
It. That's exactly right.
Cloth diapers make a great burp cloth.
Yeah, and a good dust drag.
Yeah. Great dust drag.
We dust with cloth diapers.
Those have been in the house, not as diapers.
I say that like I actually dust. Yeah.
Can I say something Hershey about dust. Like my piece of advice for the hospital? Take
Go.
Everything you can.
Oh, yes.
From the hospital.
Yeah.
That's what they told
and
us
I mean
in the
steal.
Hospital.
Like the blankets. I have so many blankets in my house that say DePaul Hospital on them. Like stamped on them.
We're
like receiving
right
blankets
now.
with DePaul Hospital stamped. And they send you home with like, here's like a huge suitcase or a backpack.
The nasal aspirator.
Of, you know,
those,
yeah.
Are, those are very
the
important.
Hospital one is so much better than anything you can get in the store to where my sister had one of my nephews about 3 months after I had my middle daughter. And when I went to visit her, I was like, could you get me one of those? And she like slipped it to me.
Oh, if it wasn't nailed down in our room, it went,
like
the, it went
the bed out the door.
It went in the backpack.
They told Katie to order big meals, order everything on the menu.
And share.
Yeah.
See, I was at Anderson Hospital, and the Anderson Hospital gives the father's meals as well, which is a big nice. The Women's Pavilion at Anderson Hospital is fantastic.
There's a pantry down the hall from every room where there's food and snacks,
popsicle,
so it's like,
sodas.
It's gonna be kind of a bit of a vacation for a couple days.
Yeah, so if you want a nap. Take advantage. Just
take the nap.
Take him to the nursery
and
let him stay there for a couple hours when you take a nap because the nursery is not there when you go home.
And the vacation will end.
For the rest of your life.
No,
it'll be good.
I have faith. It'll be awesome.
So you went to breastfeeding class yesterday with
I
your
did.
Wife. And
yes.
You texted me because we were talking. You said you had to get out of here. I had to go to a 9U baseball game in Staunton, Illinois. And he had to go to breastfeeding class. It was a very weird life switch there. Mm-hmm. But he said, I told him, the best thing you can do is keep her awake in the middle of the night. The most supportive thing you can do is not sleep. When she doesn't have to sleep, especially while she's getting the hang of it.
And I'm walking into the room, and that's the first thing the nurses is telling people. And partners, you're going to need to make sure they stay awake. You're going to want to get up. I was like, boy, Annie nailed this. I should have just, you know.
Took me three kids. They've gotten progressively better humans as I went, just because I didn't know what I was doing at first, but nobody does.
If you ever want to call somebody, I'm up.
Yeah, that's true.
At all weird hours.
All night. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, Frank.
Well, thank you guys so much.
We appreciate you. And we appreciate Katie. Yeah. And,
it's very nice. And this wonderful picture.
Yeah.
Of my.
Yeah, I don't want to see that anymore. That's disturbing.
I'm going to turn you guys into HR.
Absolutely. Just take the diapers first before we take them back. Yeah, absolutely.
So, are you okay with games from video games and movies and books to become sports?
I don't even know.
Like Quidditch.
If it has to do with Harry Potter, I don't even understand it. I've never seen one. Dave will ever show in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.